Our sermon text today is Psalm 106, as we're spending another summer in the Psalms. We're jumping to today what's, as you get there, you'll see a fairly lengthy psalm, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to work through this verse by verse, otherwise we'd be here late into the afternoon, and we're already taxing your strength, right, with a second sermon this morning. But I think as you see, this is a long psalm, but a very simple psalm. A very simple psalm in terms of the message that it communicates. So let's give attention now to God's word in Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea, at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry, and he led them through the deep as through a desert. So he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. When men in the camp were jealous of Moses and Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. Fire also broke out in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness, that would make their offspring fall among the nations, scattering them among the lands. Then they yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They provoked the Lord to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stayed. And that was counted to him as righteousness from generation to generation forever. They angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mixed with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they became unclean by their acts and played the whore in their deeds. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. He gave them into the hand of the nations so that those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress and he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He caused them to be pitied by all those who held them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. This is God's word. Let's pray that he would open our eyes and our ears to receive it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the many ways you so graciously instruct and guide us in it. Please, this morning, use this psalm to convict us of our sins and assure us of your grace in Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. So kids, remember, every week, this time is not just for your parents, right? It's not just for all the grown-ups here, but God's word is important for you. God has wonderful things to tell to you guys. So I've got a question for you. Have you guys ever had a time when you feel like you kept messing up, you kept doing the same mistake over and over and over again? Maybe you kept spilling your dishes at dinner one day after another, or maybe you kept breaking stuff at home. Just felt like it kept on happening. Or maybe kept hurting your brothers or sisters. Maybe accidentally, maybe not, right? And were you ever maybe afraid when you did that? Afraid that your mom and dad might get mad at you? Maybe you were even afraid they would kick you out of your house because you kept spilling your dinner. Now, do you think they would do that? No. Your parents, they forgive you, right? Even if you kept spilling your dinner every single day, right? Your mom and dad would forgive you for that. They might have to discipline you if you're doing something wrong or something disobedient, but your mom and dad, they forgive you. Just think of how many times they've done that, right? It's pretty amazing how many times mom and dad have forgiven all the wrong things that you've done. But guess what? This passage from the Bible, it shows us that God forgives us even more. It shows us that if we trust in Jesus, God forgives us every time that we sin, every time we do something wrong. And we sin a lot, right? Every day we say things, we do things, we think things that are wrong. But if we trust in Jesus, God forgives us perfectly. So keep that in mind as we go through the psalm and see how it teaches us to remember God's amazing grace and forgiveness to us. As we consider Psalm 106, it's really crucial for us to see that our memories define us, right? We remember joyful times, outings with friends, times with families. We remember embarrassing moments, right? Those embarrassing times have this uncanny ability to stick with us for decades. We just can't forget them. We remember hard times, losing a job, losing friendships, losing family members. We remember all kinds of things, and our memories shape the way that we are. They shape us. They shape the way that we respond and act in the present, right? We spend time with family and friends because we build on all those wonderful memories that we've had in the past. We know in hard situations how to respond because we've learned from past mistakes and past errors. And of course, we remember not to repeat all those embarrassing things that have happened from time to time. Our memories, they define us and they shape who we are. And this psalm, Psalm 106, drives that message home. Our psalmist is writing from the exile in Babylon. God's people have lived in Israel for many centuries, but were sent off into exile. And he's remembering with Israel a long history of failure, of rebellion. Almost the entire psalm is taken up with recounting that history of failure. But the bad memories of this psalm are not the only piece here, right? The bad memories are bound to memory of God's grace and his faithfulness to his people. Psalm 106 called on the Israelites to remember. It calls on us to remember still today. We have to confront the unpleasant memory of our repeated sin and rebellion against God. But that bad memory, it's not an end in itself. When we remind ourselves of our incessant sin, we're driven to remember God's unceasing mercies in Christ. And so for us to unpack that today, we're going to look through this psalm in three main points. First, we need to look at our short-term memory. And then second, we need to look at our need for review. And then finally, we're going to take a look at God's long-term memory. So let's start off by looking at our short-term memory. The first thing we've got to see in this psalm is that God's people have a really bad memory. And what I'm talking about here with short-term memory is, right, not the strictly scientific sense of short-term, but the fact that Israel and we today have really terrible memories. We forget so easily the most important things in life. The very first episode of history here in Psalm 106 shows us how the Israelites started off from the very beginning of their history forgetting God and all his grace. Forgetting, really, the greatest miracle, the greatest saving work of God in the entire Old Testament, right? God's rescue of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Take a look at verse 7. It says, "Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea." God had performed astonishing miracles in Egypt. He had rescued his people, a bunch of slaves, from the greatest superpower of the day and delivered them out of bondage. And Israel forgot. As soon as things got tough, a few days after this amazing deliverance, God's people forgot what he had done, vacated their minds of his grace and his power. Yes, the armies of Egypt were coming after them, but Israel forgot that they still worshiped the same God who had utterly humiliated the Egyptians just days before. This kind of forgetfulness, it's on the magnitude of somebody being rescued from the Twin Towers on 9/11 by a fireman, and a week later saying, "Why do we pay for all these firemen anyway? Like, don't they just volunteer out in the country? Is this really the best use of our taxes?" I mean, that kind of forgetfulness is completely absurd. It's offensive, frankly. And that's the kind of forgetfulness that we see going on here in Israel's life. Now, listen to what they said to Moses when they are at the Red Sea, as it's recorded in the book of Exodus. They said to Moses, "Is it because there's no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done in bringing us out of Egypt? Isn't this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." God's forgetful people quickly became a rebellious people. They forgot God's grace, and they turned against him in anger and grumbling. Nevertheless, God showed himself a gracious God. God delivered his people even here as they grumbled against him by an even greater miracle than what they'd seen. God parted the Red Sea, and his people marched right through it as if it was a desert. Here was a gracious God, a gracious act that surely Israel would remember. And the people do respond in faith. Just take a look at verse 12. Here was a truly unforgettable deliverance. But then we read the very next verse. They soon forgot his works. In no time, Israel forgot God's grace again, and they were grumbling in the desert. I think you can see the rhythm of the rest of the psalm. We could spend all day highlighting how Israel keeps forgetting and grumbling and rebelling against God. Time after time, God's people rebel against him because they forget his grace. But Israel's not alone in forgetting God's salvation. The reality is, our memories are just as bad. We regularly ignore God's grace day after day. Perhaps we think God's mostly irrelevant, not really worthy of our attention, or maybe we fail to make it a priority to give attention to God and his wonderful work and grace for us. And life's busy. How often do our endless obligations drive time in scripture and prayer way down the list of things we need to do? Remembering God's kindness to us, it takes persistence and perseverance. We're far better at forgetting things than remembering them. Just think about classes in school you had in the past, right? How many of those do you really remember, right? Do you think you could pass high school trigonometry right now? The results might be frightening, even for me. Forgetting is easy. It doesn't take any work. And like the Israelites, we regularly forget what God has done for us, and then turn against him in rebellion, anger, and frustration. But sometimes our forgetting, it's more serious than simple negligence, simply ignoring God and his grace. Sometimes we intentionally suppress the memory of God's grace. We know it's true. We choose to ignore it, to set it aside. It's not as though the Israelites standing there at the Red Sea forgot what had happened in Egypt, right? If Moses handed out a 10-point quiz on the 10 plagues, I suspect the averages would have been pretty high, right? They'd score pretty well. But the Israelites, they knew intellectually what God had done, but they chose to ignore it. They chose to suppress that remembrance. They chose instead to pursue their own desires, their own grumbling, their own anger. Their forgetfulness did not flow from a lack of information. It flowed from unbelief. Likewise, our sin and our rebellion, it's not a problem of lack of information. Right? Our sin is a problem of unbelief. It's a problem of yearning to rebel against God, longing to pursue what is not glorifying to him. Caught up in our sinful desires for gluttony, for anger, for greed, for so much more, the list is endless. We ignore what we know to be true. Our memory of God's grace, it gets in the way of what we think is going to satisfy us. So we suppress it. We ignore it. We pursue what we want, what we think is going to satisfy. Yes, we know that God's done so many good things for us, but we don't care to reflect on that. Or perhaps we suppress the memory of God's grace because, frankly, we're angry with God right now. We know God has been gracious and kind. Right now, he's given us hardship. Give us pain and difficult circumstances. And so instead of remembering God's grace, we lash out in anger and rebellion. Our memories, they're surprisingly short. We fail to remember God's grace and his kindness day after day. But that's not all that we forget. Psalm 106, it also shows us that we forget the devastation of our sin. And we could really look at this second kind of forgetfulness almost anywhere in this psalm. But I want to hone in here on verses 19 through 23, the episode of the golden calf at Mount Sinai. Here again, we see that Israel, they forgot God. But the results of their memory loss, they're tragic. Text says, they exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. Instead of worshiping God in all his glory, the Israelites chose to image him as an ox. Sure, I mean, an ox is powerful, it's strong, it's quite useful in an agrarian society like they lived in, but really? An ox? Compared to the glory of God that they had just seen on top of Mount Sinai? This was totally senseless. In forgetting God, Israel gave up what was truly good in exchange for a cheap replacement. That's the dynamic of all our sin. We give up what's truly good, God and his will, in exchange for a counterfeit, for a fake. Paul talks about humanity's sin, all mankind's rebellion in that way, in the book of Romans, chapter 1. He says, claiming to be wise, they, humankind, became fools and exchanged the glory of God, of the immortal God, for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Now, I'm totally confident that none of you have an image of a cow or anything else at home that you bow down and worship. But don't let that take the force out of Paul's words. Right? We think that our sin is a great idea. We think that it's going to deliver, that it's going to give us just what we want. But we so often forget that it's a counterfeit. It's a lie. It's an empty promise. And because in our sin, we give up the glorious God and creator of the universe. We choose instead to worship the things of this earth, the things of this creation, most often ourselves. We run after our desires and pursue our passions, but we fail to see that we're exchanging the truth of God for a lie. We forget that our sin can't satisfy. It never delivers what it promises. But our sin, it's more than dissatisfying. Our psalm also shows us that it's devastating. Not only did Israel exchange the glory of God for something they couldn't satisfy, their rebellion, it wreaked havoc. Over and over in the psalm, Israel suffers for their sin. Plagues, earthquakes, fire, foreign armies, and more repeatedly come upon them. But Israel never seems to get it. They never seem to remember, despite all these problems, all this devastation, it's the result of their rebellion. And here again, we need to see that we suffer from this same kind of mental block. Time and time again, we find ourselves committing the same old sins, the same old rebellion, and forgetting the ruin, the pain that we're bringing upon ourselves. This is the deceitfulness of sin, right? Sin promises delight, and it delivers pain and ruin. And then we forget the consequences so quickly and run back to those empty promises all over again. And our psalm drives home so clearly how we need to remember the deceitfulness and the devastation of our rebellion. We need to learn from our past mistakes and see all the damage that we've brought to ourselves and to others around us. We need to see that bursting out in anger this time really isn't going to accomplish what we want. Giving in to lustful desires is still going to leave us feeling empty and enslaved. Lying to our friends and family, it's really not going to help our relationships any more than it did last time. Remember the devastation of sin. Don't forget the harm that it causes. Some of you here today may not call yourselves Christians, and perhaps this just sounds like a big, long guilt trip. But I think if you're honest with yourself, you too can see how you get caught in this same vicious cycle of forgetfulness and rebellion, driven by the desire to do something that you know is wrong, but then you reap the painful consequences. And then so quickly you forget what happened, and you're back there again, running into it again. So how do you get out of the cycle? How do you stop this vicious cycle of forgetfulness and failure? Well, as much as you and I might try to change our response, try to make things different, we can't do it. It's bad news, but it's important news. We can't do it in our own strength. And that's why Psalm 106 doesn't just call us to stop forgetting. It doesn't just call us to stop forgetting, but also shows us we need our memories sparked. We need our memories sparked, and that brings us to our second point, our need for review. Many of you are feeling the need for review. It's you students who are in the middle of exams and closing up school right now. This is so important to what our psalm is driving home. We need to remember. And Israel needed to remember some crucial truths. Of course, the first thing they need to remember is they need to remember their guilt, as we've already been talking about. We see that clearly in verse 6. The psalmist confesses, together with all of Israel, the ways that they have failed and sinned against God. And that confession, it leads to that long story of Israel's repeated rebellion throughout their history. God's people had to remember their guilt, but the reason they had to remember their guilt, so they could likewise remember God's grace. While we see Israel rebel over and over and over through this psalm, nevertheless, all the way at the end, turn to the end of the psalm, we see God continue to be gracious to his people, continue to forgive them, even in the face of the most heinous of sins. As the Israelites are slaughtering their children, the pagan gods, God continues to be faithful to them. Take a look at verse 43, what comes after. It says, many times he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. The psalmist reminds us how God was gracious to his people, even as they sinned against him over and over again for over 500 years. How do we do? We struggle to forgive somebody if they sin against us maybe two or three times. But here we see God faithful and gracious, forgiving to his people after centuries failure. As the psalmist says in verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That's the kind of patient and enduring love that we need to be reminded of. Now, I'm sure that some of you at this point are wondering, how could you really talk about God's grace in this psalm when he's bringing judgment against his people over and over and over and over again, right? I mean, isn't that the opposite of God's grace? We have to grasp here as we think about this psalm, one of the key tensions here in Psalm 106, but in Scripture more broadly. We need to remember that God is completely forgiving to his people who trust in him. Their sins are forgiven and washed away for good. But at the same time, God does deal out painful consequences for sin. He exercises fatherly discipline for the good of his people, to remind them of the danger of sin and drive them to see their need, their desperate need of his grace. So, you know, God's judgments in this psalm were by no means something to be celebrated, but they were for the good of his people. They were the work of his grace to remind them of their need. We often forget that pain, while entirely unpleasant, it's a really good and really important thing, right? It's really good that it hurts so much when we stick our hand on a hot burner on the stove, because that pain is protecting us from being completely destroyed. And likewise, the pain that God brought upon his people guarded them, warned them against destroying themselves, and going to ruin, and drove them to his grace, his compassion. In the midst of all their sin and struggle, God's people had to remember his grace and how through their persistent failure, he was a God who persevered with them. And obviously, we need to remember God's enduring grace as we confront our battles day after day, week after week, year after year, with our own struggles, with habitual sins. Our lives, they often look like a miniature version of Israel's history. One episode of forgetting and rebelling after another. It just keeps on going. And these lifelong battles with sin can be extraordinarily discouraging. I know that I've been so deeply disheartened at times by the sins that I've struggled with for year after year. These protracted struggles against sin can lead us to some of the deepest places of despair in our lives. We ask ourselves, could God really love me? Could he really forgive me this time? Sometimes we're so downcast, we may doubt our own salvation. Would a Christian really struggle with this sin for so long? Is that really possible? These are real and painful struggles. But this is where we have to remember. We have to remember that God's steadfast love endures forever. If we trust in Christ, all our sins are forgiven, and God will persevere with us to the end. When we forget God's grace and we just remember our sin, we're sure to end up at despair and despondency. We have to confront the greatness of our sin with the superabundance of God's grace and his compassion to his people. As God was gracious with Israel for over 500 years, so he will be gracious with you. Paul reminds us of this in 2 Timothy 2:13. He says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is faithful to his forgetful people. So we've seen through this psalm that our forgetfulness is serious, but God's given us good things to remember. Yet that's really, if you think about it, it's only so helpful. We can tell ourselves to remember God's grace all day long, but sometimes, in fact, all the time, it's like cramming for exams, right? We might remember a bit, maybe a good bit. But we never remember perfectly. Our memory always fails us in some way. So where do we look for hope? Our memories fail us. That's where we need to turn to our third point to see God's long-term memory and how that answers this question. See, Psalm 106, it's not just concerned with the forgetfulness and the memory of Israel. One of the major themes of this psalm is the contrast between Israel's forgetfulness and God's perfect memory. God continually remembers his people and remembers his promise throughout their long history. And God's remembrance, his perfect memory, is the basis of the psalmist's cry for salvation. Just look at verse 4. He says, remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them. Though Israel was continually forgetful over and over again, God remembered his promise to Abraham that he would multiply and preserve his people. And we see here in Psalm 106 that God gave to Israel mediators, right? People between him and them who played a crucial role in reminding God of his promises. If we look back again at verses 19 to 23, this episode with the golden calf, we see there that God was going to destroy Israel for their sin. But Moses, the mediator, stood in the breach. He stood in the way and reminded God of his promise to turn away his wrath from his people. In the text in Exodus that describes this incident, we see that Moses' way of standing in the breach was to remind God of his promise to his people. He said, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self." Moses, the mediator, reminded God of his promise. And God's people were spared because of it. Of course, it's not as though God had actually forgotten that promise, right? It's not like God didn't remember what he had said to Abraham before. But he was showing to his people that they needed someone to stand in the breach, to remind him of his promise, to defend them from God's wrath against their failure. God remembered his people through their mediator. But the psalm has some bad news as we head toward the end. Those mediators, like Moses, they were failures. They didn't succeed. In verses 32 and 33, you see Moses, he was a broken mediator. He rebelled just like Israel. And he died in the wilderness along with them. While he should have interceded between God and Israel, he simultaneously usurped God's authority and despised his people. He totally failed. As a result, Moses, the mediator, died in the wilderness. He didn't succeed. He was rebellious like Israel and couldn't intercede for them forever. In Psalm 106, it drives us to see we need a better mediator. We need someone who can intercede for us forever, to all time, and who is perfectly righteous, to remind God of his promise that he has made to his people. And praise God that we have such a Savior. God has given to us his Son, Jesus Christ, as our perfect and everlasting mediator. See, unlike Moses and every single other intercessor in the Old Testament, Jesus intercedes for us forever. The writer of the Hebrews says, he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus was raised from the dead to everlasting life that he might intercede for you. He's become our perfect, righteous, heavenly mediator. Every day, every moment of our lives, as we continue to fail, forget, and fall into sin, Jesus reminds God of his promise to us. God will never forget us because our heavenly advocate stands before him, pleading for us and reminding him of his promise. Jesus' intercession, it breaks the cycle of our forgetfulness. Yes, we continue to forget God's grace. We continue to rebel against him. And frankly, that's going to happen for the rest of our lives. But even when we've forgotten God's grace, because Jesus intercedes for us in heaven, God will never forget his promise to us. Just as Moses reminded God of the promise to Abraham, Jesus reminds God of his new covenant promise that he's made to his people. And it's a better promise, but perhaps a surprising promise in view of what we've been saying here today. See, God promises us in the new covenant, he's going to wipe away his memory. He's going to erase it. Only in one crucial way, right? He's not going to forget us. He's not going to forget to be gracious and kind to us. No, God promises in Christ that he will remember our sins no more. Never again. His memory is wiped clean. Because of Christ's perfect mediation, our sins are forgotten forever. Instead, Christ daily pleads with the Father to look on his righteousness, his perfection, and to give it to us. It's a gracious gift. Though our personal history, it looks a lot like the history of Israel, we can have confidence to come and confess our sins to God, to draw near to him because we know his steadfast love endures forever. And our sins, they are forgiven and forgotten. Memory loss, it's a painful thing. I mean, just talk to someone whose family has wrestled with that. But I hope you can see in this psalm how devastating our spiritual memory loss can be. We too often forget God's grace. We turn away from him in anger and rebellion. Yet in spite of our continual spiritual forgetfulness, God continually remembers us for good. He's given us his Son as an everlasting advocate to remind him to be faithful forever. even in the midst of our rebellions. So when you fall into sin for what may feel like the 1,000,000th time, remember, remember, your sin is great. God's grace is greater. How could we forget a God and a Savior like this?